It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good evening. It's 6:30 at KSL News Radio. Jeff Kaplan here. We have broken clouds, 48 degrees. KSL's top story.
Utah's coronavirus spike.
Nearly 2,000 new COVID-19 cases are being reported today in Utah. This shatters yesterday's record. Doctors and nurses in hospitals in Salt Lake City are pleading with everyone, wear a mask, because this spike is putting an incredible strain on them. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has more.
If the new daily COVID-19 case number is 1,200 or more, university hospital workers say they can expect their ICUs to be full or close to it. Our rolling seven-day average is over 1,300, and we have reached the point where COVID-19 cases are getting in the way of other kinds of treatment. Doctors say one woman wasn't able to get treated for a heart problem, and they've had to cancel surgeries that required a hospital stay, all because they're making room for COVID-19 patients.
Salt Lake City Mayor Aaron Mendenhall says University Hospital's ICU is at 99% capacity. Get ready, real cold weather is coming to Utah. After a cold night, we'll quickly warm up tomorrow. Then the second cold front moves in tomorrow night. We could see a slight dusting of snow or a little rain. It'll be 31 degrees Sunday morning when you head back to work. 24 degrees come Monday morning. It's dry in Colorado, where crews are battling the largest wildfire in state history, and now they're bracing for high wind. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, multiple counties are being evacuated due to the East Troublesome Fire, which is now the second largest in Colorado history. Tens of thousands of people have been forced from their homes. The governor visiting an emergency shelter today to comfort residents like Stacy Malik.
We do feel very appreciative of all the support we're getting, that the governor did come by and talk to us, and that they are offering all the support that they can.
The fire has now consumed more than 170,000 acres and is getting close to merging with the Cameron Peak Fire, which has scorched more than 206,000 acres. Word from the Department of National Intelligence and the FBI earlier this week that foreign adversaries are interfering in the U.S. elections came as no surprise to some. Senator John Warner says he's thankful that they're on top of it, but he wants details.
I'm still trying to make sure I get the full intelligence community's assessment, and I'm still awaiting that full assessment. You know, I've been calling for months for the intelligence community to be more forward-leaning.
Meantime, tensions are high in the U.S. Senate as a full confirmation vote for Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court will take place next week. Thursday's Senate Judiciary Committee hearing with Democrats boycotting the vote lends a peek into what to expect for the process. Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown says this is nothing more than a Mitch McConnell power play.
Well, it says it's all about power for Mitch McConnell. It's all about putting another special interest corporate judge on the Supreme Court that will choose corporate interests over workers.
The vote is expected on Monday. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
Following last night's debate, President Trump and Joe Biden were back out campaigning today. Your Voice, Your Vote 2020, Lindsay Ertz reports from the KSL Elections Desk.
The president at one of two rallies tonight.
Hello, Florida.
Giving his view of last night's debate performances.
I think Joe Biden proved last night that he's not capable of being President of the United States.
Earlier today, Biden in Delaware laying out more of his plans for pandemic recovery with an attack on Mr. Trump.
We saw him refuse to take responsibility for the crisis that should have been met with real presidential leadership. Instead, it has cost hundreds of thousands of Americans' lives and pushed millions into poverty.
From the KSL Elections Desk, Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
It's not just in-person campaigning. Turns out the Biden campaign is also spending more money on TV and digital ads than any other presidential campaign in history. The Hill reports the campaign spent $580 million on TV ads since launching last year. That easily surpasses President Trump, whose campaign has spent $340 million over the past 2 years. The record-breaking spending comes as observers expect, all told, all of the candidates over the past 2 years, the 2020 campaign will cost $11 billion. Parents in the Salt Lake City School District may sue so that their kids can attend class in a school building. KSL News Radio's Kelly Pierce says they sent a letter to the district, to the governor, and the state superintendent of schools,
saying their kids' constitutional rights are being violated because, they argue, they're being denied an equal education to other students in the state. They say children are falling behind academically, and it's a big problem for low-income students who can't afford to switch districts or schools like their well-heeled classmates have been doing. Many of those students are also stuck at home babysitting while trying to do their classes as well, and some are English language learners who have trouble with the software, when they have a computer at all.
The district says in a statement, "We continue to work with our local health department to safely bring students back to in-person instruction as soon as possible." KSL News Time 6:35. The number of bowl games available for college football teams is now a little smaller. The Holiday Bowl in San Diego has decided they're going to cancel the game this year because it doesn't make sense financially to host a game without fans. KSL News Time 6:35. Ricky Meese joins us for a brief look at traffic. Is this the happily ever after now?
We are almost there. But on top of all the issues we've had on the freeways, we've had some surface street problems. One is a crash westbound 90th south at 10th west. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Stay here. The real history of Halloween and how it became such a big deal is coming up. My Minute of News is on the way. Next.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.